blessing. I appreciate that. Listen, I know you got places to go, and we do too, but we need to preach a little bit this morning. Why don't you take your Bible and turn with me to Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter number 2. I was in Alabama this week. Thanks for praying for us. We were up there with Brother Aaron Hewling and had a great, great meeting and went out and got to go out fishing a little bit on Tuesday, and then Wednesday I was able to spend the day with Brother Tim Noble. And we was hanging out. I said, man, pray for me. I said, I don't know what to do on Sunday morning. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I've been pastoring the same place for 23 years, so this means that this will be my 23rd Mother's Day sermon. I said, I think I've preached on every mama in the Bible. And if you know Tim, you will understand what I'm about to say. He said, well, I don't have a sermon for you, but I'll give you a title. He said, just preach on your mama. Leave it to Tim. And I told my wife last night, I said, I think I'm just going to preach on every mama in the Bible. Y'all got a few minutes? I'm teasing, but we are going to look at a few mothers this morning. I was thinking as I began to study this week about how mothers make a difference. Wonder how many of you could raise your hand and say, if it were not for my mother, I don't know where I'd be. That's just about every hand in the room. I mean, thank God for daddies. Normally, every year on Mother's Day, we brag on our mamas, and on Father's Day, we rip their heads off. Amen. And that's about par for the course. But just about in every family, you would have to say, mama made the biggest difference in our life. And I know there's probably some mothers that aren't such great role models or such great moms, but they did bring you into the world, amen? And we ought to respect our parents regardless. But thank God some of us can look to our moms and say, my mother made the biggest impact or the biggest difference in my life. Most children would say it was mother who prayed with me at bedtime. It was mama who read the Bible to me. It was mama that taught me between right and wrong. Normally, daddy's off trying to make a living and working. Somebody asked me one day, said, how did you raise such good kids? You don't really know them, do you? But somebody did. They asked me, how did you raise such good, godly kids? I said, I didn't have a whole lot to do with it. It was their mama. And I thank God that in my family, there's a mother. Amen? Thank God for mama. I hugged my mother's neck a while ago and told her that I wouldn't be where I was today had it not been for her. I was raised in a single parent home. My mom and dad divorced when I was 4 years old, and my mother did everything. She was my mom and she was my dad. My mother taught me how to fish. My mother taught me how to shoot a gun. Don't mess with my mama. I'd come home from ball practice and mama would get out in the yard and pitch the ball to me and let me take batting practice in the yard. I mean, mama did everything. Mama was my buddy. She was my friend and my executioner. She did it all. She did it all. There's days you'd say, oh, your mother beat you as a child. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And I turned out okay. Amen. Amen. I think that's a problem in America. Mamas don't know what a hickory is anymore. Somebody help me right there. Oh, we got some timeout people in the room, don't we? My mama believed in timeout too. She'd knock me to the floor and say, one, two, three, you're out. Amen. No, she wasn't that bad, but she did wear my little rear end out. You know, that's why God gave a kid a rear end. That's why that little padded area is back there. Amen. Some of you got chunky kids. That means they need a little more whipping than the rest of them. Amen. My mom whooped me till I didn't have nothing left. Amen. I was the radio station in Douglasville a few years ago interviewed me, and they asked me several questions, had a little questionnaire, and I'll never forget Brother Ken Johns asked me this question. He said, Brother Eddie, who would you say had the most spiritual impact on your life? And he went down through some preachers that he knew had an impact on my life. He said, was it Brother Jay Bice? I said, he had a great impact, but no, it was not the greatest influence in my life. And he named several others. He said, well, who was the greatest spiritual impact in your life? I said, it's my mama. It was my mama. I didn't go home and live with those preachers day in and day out, but I watched the life she lived 24/7. And I thank God for mamas who make a difference. And for some of you mothers, listen to me, it's not too late to make a difference in the life of your child. I just want to try to encourage you this morning. In looking at our society, I want to show you some traits and some Bible mothers that I think is missing in our society. Number one in Exodus chapter number, what did I say? Chapter number two, I think we need some protective mothers. I think we need some protective mothers. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 1, look at it with me if you would. The Bible said, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now, if you understand what's going on here, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, if you will, he's having all those Hebrew boys that are born killed. So Moses' mother has him, and instead of him being taken by the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, she hides him for 3 months. And then she makes him a little boat and puts him in the river and sends him down toward Pharaoh's house. And the daughter of Pharaoh draws him out of the river and raises him up. And you know the story, I hope you do anyway, and how Moses ultimately led God's people out of bondage. I just want to say this about Moses' mother. She was a protective mother. A protective. How many of you go to the mall? Most of you. Do you ever go to the mall and you walk around or Walmart late at night? Amen. Walmart's a different place after midnight. They may be some of you midnight Walmart dwellers in here. There have been several times when I was traveling in somewhere for preaching, and Sister Angie said, on your way in, stop at Walmart. And buddy, you go in there, it's like the Walking Dead. I ain't lying, man. It's zombies in there everywhere. But do you ever go to the mall or Walmart late at night and you look around at some of the young people and you wonder, where is your mother? Where is your mother? Man, there was a day in my life when my mother protected me, and not just protected me from danger, but tried to protect and build in me some character. Y'all okay? I can remember Mama saying, where do you think you going dressed like that? It's about time you get a haircut. I've got a daughter and a son, not two girls. That ain't real popular today, is it? We're living in a society that says let the kids do anything they want and just let them turn out any way they want. Let them make their own choices in life. You're an idiot if you believe that. If you really believe that, wake them up in the morning and say, do you choose to go to school today? Or would you rather go to the park? It's up to you. You choose. Unless you have a straight-up nerd, you go into the park tomorrow. But no, you wake them up and say, it's time to go to school. I'm not going to call you again. Am I right about it? Amen. That's being protective as a mother. Amen. Amen. And we ought to do the same thing on Sunday morning. They told my mother all my childhood life, Sandra, if you keep dragging them kids to church, they're going to grow up and hate church. I hate it so bad I go nearly every day of the week. I will go about every day this week. Me and Sister Angie will be in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Levi and Cora. And we'll be in church just about every day. I love going to church. Amen. Why? Because my mother had a sense of protection when I was a little boy. And she said, when it's church time, our family's going to church. I'll never forget, John, where are you at? He's up there in the balcony. Every boy in this building that grew up in the New Georgia area, if you ever played baseball, you had J.P. Denton as a coach, didn't we, John? Everybody, J.P. coached us all in baseball. I remember after a ball practice one Tuesday night, my mama, JP, announced practice on Wednesday. And I'll never forget mama coming down in the dugout and stepping up on the bench and sticking her finger in JP's face. And she said, "I got news for you. My boy will be in church tomorrow night. And he will start in that game on Saturday. He's not going to be punished for going to church." Well, it got quiet in here. You know what? I was in church, and I did get to start in the game on Saturday. And eventually, my mother was a key role in J.P. Denton getting saved. He testified that right here one time on Mama's birthday. Amen. Listen, we need some protective mothers. We need some protective mothers in our society. We need some moms who will say, "Not in this house." We need some moms that say, "We're doing it this way and we're doing it that way." My mother had an old saying, "Because I said so." Anybody's mama ever pull that one on you? You look at mama and say, "Why?" She said, "Because I said so." And that had to be good enough. Amen. We need some mothers with a "because I said so" attitude who would take a stand and be mom. How many of you thankful you had a protective mother? Let me tell you how bad my mama was. Girls were not allowed to call me. And that was a big problem at our house. Y'all will get that in a minute. It wasn't proper for a girl to call a boy. Well, it got quiet again. I'm talking about back in the day when people had morals and character. It wasn't proper if a girl called a boy. I won't tell you what they called them. Y'all all right? So I had to call Sister Angie. I fell in love with her when she was 12 years old. We wasn't allowed to do nothing but talk on the phone. But I can remember talking to Angie on the phone, and I could hear my breath, and then I could hear Angie's breath, and then I could hear Mama's breath. I say, "Mama, hang up the phone." "Well, what have you got to say to her I can't hear?" That's a mama for you right there. Eavesdropping. Well, you need to give children their privacy. Yeah, when they're 20. Me and Angie rode different buses. Jerry Brown was in one of my classes, and he rode her bus. So I'd write love notes to Angie and give them to Jerry, and he'd give them to her on her bus. And, of course, Jerry would read them, and then he'd give them to Angie. Angie'd write me a note back, and she'd give it to Jerry, and Jerry'd read it, and I'd read it, and I'd come home, hide it under my underwear, and Mama'd read it. Amen. Thank God for a nosy mother. Amen. That stuck her nose in my business. I remember when we were growing up, Roger, where you at, Roger? We blamed everything on one another. And it seemed to work for a while. And one day Mama said, "Everything ain't Roger Bush's fault." And then they wised up and they'd both wind up whooping us. Roger's mama, there was a day when somebody else's mama could whoop you. And it was okay. Amen. I'll tell you this and I'll move on. I was spending the night at Roger's. We was little. I mean, we was 7, 8, 9 years old. We was all, me and Roger Norman's all piled up in their bed. And Bunny hollered down the hall 3 or 4 times, told us to shut up. That was before that word was politically incorrect. Amen. "Shut up or I'm coming in there and whoop every one of you." Well, we kept wrestling and playing. Here she comes. First thing she found when she come in the door was a piece of a Hot Wheels track. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ain't been whooped till you get whooped with a Hot Wheels track. She snatched Norman out of bed and thrashed him real good. And then she grabbed Roger. Norman's a crying. She grabbed Roger and Roger starts screaming like a girl and he's a crying. I'm laying over in the bed laughing. She wheeled around with that Hot Wheels track. She said, "I don't know what you laughing at. You next." And by the time Bunny went to bed, we was all crying. Amen. Thank God for a protective mother. A mother who will stand up and protect. It's sad when chickens has got more sense than humans. I don't know how many of you grew up where you had chickens. You ever tried to catch them little bitties? You know what that mama will do? She'll flog you. We need some flogging mamas in America that'll stand up and protect their children. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1, you don't have to turn there. For sake of time, I'm just going to hit these and go. But we have Moses' mother was a protective mother. And then we have Samuel's mother in the book of 1 Samuel. And from looking at her life, I would say not only was she a protective mother, but she was a supportive mother. She was a supportive mother. If you'll remember in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, Samuel's mother, she prayed and she begged God for a son. She was barren. And she told God that if he'd give her a man child or a boy baby, she would dedicate or give him back to God. And all through his life, even though after he was weaned, she took him to Eli the priest, and he was raised up in the house of God. But we'll see in the life how she kept providing for and supporting her child. Amen. We need mothers who will support their children in whatever it is they do. Amen. I asked a lady a question one time. It was a man and a woman, and their son was about to graduate, and he was choosing something that they didn't really care for him to be doing. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Would you support him if he surrendered to go to the mission field in Africa? And they just sat there and got real quiet. The boy wasn't doing anything bad. He was just choosing a vocation that they thought he could do something different. Hey, we ought to support our children. I'm glad, and no matter what I did, I had my mother's support. I'll never forget the day my wife and I discussed it, Brother Charles and I discussed it, and I made the decision to walk off my job. I'd taken this church 23 years ago. There was just a handful of people, but that thing began to grow and that thing began to blossom, and it got more than I could possibly do and still be a good husband and a daddy and pastor this church. So we made the decision to serve the Lord full time. For the first time in my life, I told my mama I quit my job, and she was happy. There was a rule in my house when I was a teenager. If I quit my job, I better not come home without another one. Amen. Thank God I had a mama like that. I had a protective mother, but I had a supportive mother. I had a mother who backed me, even in spiritual things, when it didn't make sense to walk off a good job with good benefits and to serve this church full time. She backed me 100%. And everything I've ever done that was right. I'm not saying we ought to support our kids in their sin. Don't die on me. I'm not saying we ought to support our kids in our sin. But when our kids are trying to do right, we ought to support them. When they're trying to be good moms and good daddies, we ought to butt out of their business and just support them. Amen. I know young couples who have divorced because of an in-law. Let me rephrase that. Mother-in-law. Are y'all okay? I told Brother Todd, I told Chase, she's yours. I have a no return policy. When y'all having problems, I don't want to hear about it. Amen. Don't come running home to me unless you're bleeding or something bad wrong. Amen. Work it out. I don't button their business. I don't fuss when they spank the children. This morning I come in and Katie, Zoe was a fussing, and there's something about them little girls, and Katie said she needs a spanking. I didn't say don't spank her. I just said not in my presence. You take her out yonder and wear her out. Do not do it in front of me. Hayden, Jonah, and Mason, that's our grandsons. Oh, I'll whip them. I'll wear them, but I won't never lay a hand on them girls. Amen. I'll send them home and say, she needs a whooping. Amen. But I ain't doing it. Ain't that right? Hey, We support our children. We support our children in the way they raise their family, in the way they discipline their kids.
Amen.
Amen. We support our sons-in-law in the way they run their homes. Don't come to complain to me about Todd. I remember when I first got married, if I tried to complain about my wife, which I never did, if me and Angie had some trouble, Mama took her side. Supportive mother. I'm preaching on supportive mothers. You know what she did? She supported what was right. And 9 times out of 10, she was. Amen. We need some supportive mothers, some protective mothers. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. You don't have to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 more and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Paul is writing a letter to the young preacher Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5, Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." In chapter 3 and verse number 15, Paul makes another statement. He said, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus." He said, from a child you've known the scripture. In chapter number 1, he said he calls to remembrance the faith of his mother and his grandmother. We need some mothers who will protect. We need some mothers who will support. We need some moms who will instruct.
Amen.
Did you know most of what your children learn, they learn from mama? They learn from mama. I get tickled at our grandchildren sometimes. They're, how old's Jonah? 5, 6 years old. The boys take karate and Caroline takes gymnastics. And he told his mama the other day, he said, "Mama, please tell Caroline that my karate is more important than her gymnastics." Ashley said, "No, Jonah, her gymnastics is just as important as your karate." And I forgot exactly what he said. He said, "But what if we went to war?" Or is that what he said? "Well, what if we went to war? What good's it going to do me to walk on a balance beam?" He said, "I'll have to rely on my sharp focus and my lightning fast moves," he said. That's just wisdom right there, man. That's just wisdom. Hey, we are to instruct our children. I thought about Caroline a while back reading her Bible. She can't read. She's sitting right there. I don't want to upset her. She's reading her Bible, and her mama asked her, said, "Well, what's the Bible say?" She said, "It says to obey God, obey your parents, and trust Captain America." I thought that's pretty good. Listen, on our buses, our Sunday school teachers will start teaching our children. And it's amazing how much Bible our children know. If we had a contest this morning over who knows the books of the Bible, I bet I could pull our children from children's church over here and they'd blow you guys away. They'll start at Genesis and go all the way to Revelation. Thank God somebody is instructing them. Y'all remember the little book they used to have in the doctor's office, the Bible story books? Y'all remember that? I think they still have them in there. I remember my mother reading that to me when I was a little boy. Before my Sunday school teacher ever told me about Jonah and the whale, my mama did. Before my Sunday school teacher ever told me about Joseph and his coat of many colors, my mother did. Before a Sunday school teacher ever told me about Daniel and the lion's den, my mother did. Before a Sunday school teacher ever told me about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my mother did. Are you listening? Hey, we ought to instruct our children. I knew more Bible before I got saved than most people do years after they are saved. Thank God the Bible was an important book in our house. Amen. We ought to instruct our children in righteousness and the Scripture. Amen. I wonder how many mothers still read the Bible or Bible stories to their children. Hey, boy, it got quiet. It got quiet. We need some moms. We got some brand new little babies around here. And I believe it's the parents' responsibility. When we ran our Christian school for 15 years, however many years it was, I'll never forget parents bringing their kids to us. They'd bring me teenagers that had been kicked out of public school. And then they sent them to the, what they call that other, were you in trouble? The alternative. Is that right? Alternative? They'd send them to the alternative school. Now, you get kicked out of alternative school, you're not doing very good. They'd get kicked out of public school, and then they'd get kicked out of alternative school, and then they'd bring them to me and say, fix them. I don't know how many parents I've told, it's not my job. I didn't mess them up. If you're waiting till they're a teenager to fix them, you're waiting too late. Somebody said the child forms the basis for the foundation of his life in the first 2 or 3 years. Are y'all okay? We need some moms who will instruct and teach their children right from wrong. My wife was an excellent teacher. She lied to our kids every day. She used to make up some of the craziest stuff, and she was just playing, having fun. Road signs. Levi wanted to know what every road sign meant as you're going down the road. There's a sign right down the street from our house. We lived on Buck Cannon Highway, and there was a sign that had a big H, a blue sign, had an H and an arrow pointing up. And Levi said, Mama, what does that mean? She said, heaven. It was a hospital. There was a no parking sign in Dallas that had a P and an X through it. Levi said, Mama, what does that mean? You figure it out. She didn't tell him no parking, amen. But thank God for a mom who instructed our children. Amen. Lastly, and I'm done, John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. We need some moms who will be protective over their kids. We need some moms who will be supportive of their kids. We need some moms who will instruct their children. Lastly, and I'm done, John chapter 19 and verse number 25. John chapter 19 and verse number 25. We need some mothers who will just be loyal. Who will just be loyal to their kids. The Bible said, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And his mother's sister Mary and the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. All the way up to the day Jesus died, Mary stood by him. His mother stood by him. Now listen, you said now, Jesus was right and he was in the right. Not according to the majority. To the majority, he was a blasphemer. So even when it seems like he was guilty of what the scribes and the Pharisees said, Mary stood by her child. I want to encourage some parents, some mothers this morning. Stand by your child regardless. Like I said, I don't mean support when they're wrong, but you still got to stand by your kid. It's still your kid. I don't know how many times I've been to the jail to visit. And it happens every single time I go. If you go to the Carroll County Jail, and I think they're about all that way now, but if you go to the jail, used to, you go in, sit down, talk with them, that kind of thing. Now you got to look through a piece of glass about that big with a little grill in it and talk on the phone. It never fails when I go to the jail, I'll see a mom with her hand up against that glass. Big old tears run down her face. No matter what that boy or what that girl on the other side of that glass has done, that's still mama. That's still mama. Amen. We need some mothers who'll be loyal to their children. Listen, your children are going to make mistakes. People used to ask my mother, are you Eddie White's mom? And she would say, well, it depends. First thing out of her mouth was usually, what's he done? What's he done now? Whether right or wrong, my mother stood by me. She didn't agree with everything I did and every decision I made, but she stood by me. I grew up with one of those moms, you could tell anything. I didn't get caught doing nothing. I usually told on myself. I remember Mama sitting down on the edge of my bed and me telling her the thing that scared me more than anything in the world. And I'll never forget what she did. She put her arms around me. She said, son, I love you no matter what. No matter what. Doesn't make what you've done right, but I love you. Thank God I have a loyal mother. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You need some mothers who will protect. You need some mothers who will support. You need some moms who will instruct. We need some moms who will just be loyal to their kids. Let's bow our heads all over the house.